as we enter into this new series called Dirty Laundry. This series is a book study of 1 Corinthians. And we're going to study it thoroughly, but one thing you realize is that when you dive deep into the book, it feels a little bit like having to visit that not so nice, not so clean restroom. The hall is nice. On the surface, what we do as a church seems great. We've got great worship, a welcoming usher team. On the surface, it's nice. But as you read this book, you'll find that it brings us to places we really don't quite like. Talking about sexual immorality in the church. Talking about individualism in the church. The lack of love in the church. The misuse of spiritual gifts in the church. It is almost as if it shows us that dirty laundry that our church has, yet something about this book that I so love is that it confronts us with what we need to confront, and now it invites us to invite God to clean it up. That is something that this series does. And as we go through the next 5 weeks, I hope that not just as an individual, but as a church, we humble ourselves and say, God, come and make us clean. Come and make us whole. Make us into a church that really glorifies you, true and true. Today, I'm going to dive to talk about division. And before I jump right in, I'm going to give a little context for the church in Corinth. You see, Corinth is located in what is called this geographical makeup called an isthmus, which is sort of like a teen canal somewhere in that blue line. And why was it so important? Because if not for that canal, if not for that isthmus, typically ships will need to take that red line, that track, in order to get to the other side. And you can imagine that is a long, dangerous, treacherous journey. And by having that isthmus, that teen strip of canal, it shortens the travel time by a lot. And it makes it much safer to travel to, well, the other side of the globe. Corinth is located right there. So you can also imagine, because of its strategic geographical location, there were many different people there. Of all nationalities, all ethnicities, it was like a cosmopolitan, a flirting pot for different people. And why is that very significant? Because if you live your entire life at a small little village, typically how do people group together in a village? By their clans. So if I live in a small village, I will most likely stick with my Lim clan, my Lim family, right? We will stay in a hut together, we'll stay in a house together. Typically, I'll be grouped together by my clan. But when I'm brought to a cosmopolitan place like Corinth, I don't have my clan anymore with me. Yet, as people, we try to find communities, we try to find groups, and that was exactly what happened in Corinth. People started to group up for different reasons. Some group up with people that share the same philosophical thought with them. And we see that happening here as well, right? Some people believe in a certain particular thought, then they will group together. And that was what happened in Corinth. What else? Well, people started to also group together by their socioeconomic status. Because if I don't know who to hang out with, and if I'm wealthy, well, typically I'll gravitate to the wealthy. And those who are less wealthy will gravitate to the less wealthy. People started to segregate and group themselves based on economic status. And of course, the last one is by ethnicity, by their race, because that's sometimes the easiest thing to notice, that we are different. And that was exactly what began to happen in the culture of Corinth. And unfortunately, that culture in their city seeped into the church. Because then the church started to also form groups. Some said, I follow this leader called Apollos. Some said, I follow this leader called Paul. Some said, I follow Peter. Some even said, well, I don't follow any of those leaders. I follow Christ. And they started to form these different groups. And you can imagine, because of that, the church was very, very divided. And it was to this church with this context Paul writes his letter, Corinthians. And I'm going to read it for all of us. And could I just invite us to pay close attention even as I read the text out loud for all of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. For you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Could I invite all of us to bow our heads, close our eyes as I start us off with a word of prayer. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you. Because it is your word that reveals you and your character and your heart for us, the church. And even as we dive into 1 Corinthians, God, I trust that your word will reveal certain things within our hearts and within our church that needs to be addressed. Give us the humility to learn from your word. Holy Spirit, come and speak to us, soften our hearts, so that as we leave this hall, we leave transformed more and more to be a church that truly brings honor to you. As I pray in Jesus' name and all God's people say, amen. I'm going to give a summary statement of my sermon today. So if you forget anything, you can take a picture of this slide and you've got it, all right? And the summary statement is this. The church that God grows through his different servants must not tolerate division. Let me read that for us again. The church that God grows through his different servants must not tolerate division. I'm going to break this summary statement to three parts this morning, and that will pretty much sum up my sermon for today. The church that God grows. When you read this text, you'll find that Paul makes it very clear. God is the one who grows the church. He repeats that line back to back. It is God who gives the growth. And we see that happening, actually we do. Because when you read in Acts 18, when Paul first went to Corinth and did the church plant there, what does it write? It says here, many of the Corinthians hearing Paul believed and were baptized. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent. For I am with you and no one will attack you to harm you. For I have many in this city who are my people. From the very start of the church plant, we find that God makes it clear he is the one growing the church because there are his people there in the city from the very start. Paul knew this is a church that God grows. What about us? What do you think? Is Every Nation Church Malaysia a church that God grows? How do we know? How would we know if we are a church that God is growing? Is it by the attendance? When there are many people here, it means God is growing the church. Yet all of us would know there's many ways to get attendance in. Free food is the easiest. Is that how? Attendance? Bible study groups? Social impact? Is it if Puchong misses us, if every nation is gone, then we are a church that God is growing? But then a lot of NGOs do better than us at that. How would we know we are the kind of church that God is, in fact, actively growing? And the problem is, if we can't answer that question, and we are not sure that this is, in fact, a church that God is growing, you'll find that it's hard to be united if we are really unsure if God is growing our church. It's hard to be on board with what the church is doing, with the mission of the church, with the vision, with the culture of the church. It's hard if we deep down are not too sure. And if we are not too sure, the next thing that happens is you're fine, then we'll start to complain among ourselves. This church don't do enough Bible study. This church don't do enough social work. So many people in need out there, how come we don't help them enough? You'll find that complaints start to come in the form of whisperings. And the more these whisperings come about, the more contention, the more frustration, what will we become? A divided church. Because at the core of it, we are not actually very sure that God is in fact growing and moving and working through our church. How do we know if Every Nation Church Malaysia is a church that God is growing? How would we know? When you go back to the text in Acts, you'll find that as they describe the early church plant, what happened there? Was it social work? Was it just a lot of different Bible studies, different increase in theological knowledge? We find these two words: believed and were baptized. The kind of church that God grows is one where unbelievers will come to believe as they hear the gospel. And the kind of church that God grows is the kind who will respond to the gospel by being water baptized. You realize the kind of church that God grows, at the center of it, is a church that preaches the gospel and responds to the gospel. The gospel, the good news that God came in a man, Jesus Christ. He lived the life that we should have lived, died the death that we should have died. And then 3 days later, he rose up from the grave, proving that he is God. And now inviting all who believe to respond to him and receive salvation. That is the centerpiece of the church that God grows. And you'll find now, then instead of being united behind, wow, Mission 2025 of Every Nation or what culture that we have, we ought to be united in the gospel and in the preaching of the gospel. That is the centerpiece of the church that God grows. With a humble heart, I would like to say that our leadership layer, our pastor, Pastor Sean, is someone who embodies this a lot. And because our top layer of leadership is centered in the preaching and in the responding to the gospel, I would like to believe that Every Nation Church Malaysia is a church centered around the gospel. And yes, there are many different things that you can disagree with and all that, but let's be united in the response and the preaching of the gospel. Let nothing else divide us. The church that God grows through his different servants must not tolerate division. Second point, through his different servants. When you look back at the text in 1 Corinthians, you'll find that Paul repeats his name and Apollos' name quite often. He says, Paul, Apollos, Paul, Apollos. He says, I, Apollos. What is he trying to emphasize? Well, in a church, there are, in fact, many leaders. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that Pastor Stephen is not the only pastor. If not, man, he will be so exhausted, right? Imagine if he was the only one anchoring everything. I'm glad we have many leaders. We do have. Yet, you'll find that what else does he write here? He contrasts his role and Apollos' role. He says, I planted, Apollos watered. And he repeats again, he who plants, he who waters. And later we'll find that Paul talks about how he laid the foundation at the church in Corinth. And it is by the grace of God that he was able to do so. See, the church does not just have many leaders. These leaders are often graced very differently from one another. I can't hit notes that is so easy for Neil. He's able to sing, Pastor Neil's able to sing certain notes so effortlessly, and I'm like, I'll do that when I fall asleep. His grace to be an anointed worship leader. All of us are graced very differently. We are. And I'm glad for that. But sometimes what's tricky is that when what our leaders are graced for is just too different from what we are familiar with. If Every Nation Church Malaysia is like the first church that you've attended in the past recent years, one of the things we did in the past recent years is dialogue. You'll find that we like to answer questions, engage in very cerebral thinking. And some of you like that, but if you go to another congregation, they might not do that. And when you have tough questions, difficult questions, you go to the leader, maybe their leader is graced to operate in faith, and their answer to you, rather than giving you good handles, 3 B's, 3 C's, is they tell you, pray about it. Some of you have that answer before, right, from a leader. Is that wrong? Come on, how can you be wrong if you tell someone to pray about it? That's like the right answer. But some of us, we don't like that. Because we've been so familiar with certain ways and certain giftings and certain grace, and we start to doubt the leader's ability. All he did was ask me to pray about it, eh? My gosh. And what else? Well, some of us, our leaders have been graced so different, not just from what we are familiar with, but from what we even find acceptable. If Jason prays for you, he prays from a distance. But some, they will lay hands on you. They'll lay hands, and I don't know about you, some will prefer their personal Bible. Why you touch me, right? Don't touch me. Unacceptable. Grace differently. And what happens when their grace and their giftings is so far from what we are familiar and what we find acceptable to, we start to be very skeptical towards the leader. And might I even say, have distrust towards the leader. I don't think he can lead well. And you'll find that it's hard to be united if we can't honestly trust the leader. See, it's not just about having a leader above you in the structure. It's about whether can you trust in the leader's leadership. What if we can't? What if we really struggle? And here we go back to the text. What does Paul say? I love this phrase that he used. As the Lord assigned. Say assigned. What a powerful word. Don't you know that the leaders and the pastors that we have over us has been assigned by the Lord? Yes, assigned. And what else? He says, each will receive his wages according to his labor. You'll find that we have a God who does not just assign leaders over us. We have a God who will eventually assess the leaders over us. And why that is a powerful perspective shift, because now it's not so much about just trusting the leader, it's about trusting in God's assignment and assessment of his servants in his place over us. And now if any of us struggle with the leadership over us, maybe the question is, can you trust God? Can you trust that he is the one who plays that particular leader in our lives? Can you trust God's assignment and assessment of the leader? The church that God grows through his different servants must not tolerate division. What causes division? Here we find that in the text that I just read, Paul talks about, while there is jealousy and strife. Won't you agree sometimes that causes a lot of division? When we are jealous that this other life group member, this other leader, they talk about suffering, but look at their life, so comfortable. They talk about suffering, but they drive in with their BMW. Wow, sure, suffering, right? Petrol price, maybe. Jealousy. That sometimes causes division. Strife. Conflict. Being so annoyed at this particular member. Wow, can't they just keep their kid quiet during life group? Here I am to learn about the Word of God, to relax, and wow, that's noisy, and strife and conflict happens. And then what do? We talk about division, right? Okay, you know what? I'll try to love. I'll try to be nice, smile. But how many of us know that it's hard to be united if we are just faking our love for one another? No way. Because after a while, what happens when we try to fake our love for one another? We get tired of faking it. What happens when we can't take it anymore? We tell Pastor Stephen, can I need to change life group. I tell you this life group. So change life group. And we change life group again. we change life group again. And after a while, when we find no group can fit us, we sometimes give up on community altogether. I bet some of us here, maybe that's our story. We have given up on faith community altogether. Because we got so tired of faking our love for the members. What should we do then? And here's now where we go back to the text that I read. And it was very interesting because I noticed this particular structure called a chiasm, where it's almost like a sandwich, it's almost like a burger. Where right in the middle, we find is this green layer. He talks about God grows. You move out to another layer. So imagine a burger with me. Right in the middle is the patty, and then you got the lettuce, which I usually don't like and I remove, right? The blue line, right? What does he say? He talks about the Lord assign, and we talk about the Lord assess. And right at the top, almost like the bun of this, we see this contrast. He starts off with, you are still of the flesh. And now he flips it over at the end. You are God's building, God's field. And I think sometimes that's the heart of the problem. It's not about how likable our life group members are, how easygoing they are. It's not about that. Ultimately, the question is this. Are we still operating of the flesh, or are we now operating of the Spirit of God? That is the heart of the question. Now you find that actually it's not about faking our love, but in order to be spiritual people, in fact, Paul talks about this right before he writes, it's spiritual people, is to be utterly, thoroughly transformed by the gospel that we preach and that we believe. It's only then that we can be spiritual people, loving by choice, regardless of how deserving of love the members are. And now you find that it's not about faking our love, but it's about humbling ourselves. God, transform me to be like Christ, to be able to love even sinners when He is a holy God. We are not very lovable people, by the way. Yet God died for us while we were still sinners. That is the heart of the gospel. And the question is, as a church and as members of this church, have we allowed God to transform our hearts with the gospel? And when that happens, you'll find that we will be a church that God grows through His different servants. And we will be a church that does not tolerate division. Because we have been so transformed with the gospel at the center of our lives and of our church. Could I now invite all of us to bow our heads again as I close us with prayer? God, I hope this sermon that I trust is from You, pierces our hearts, makes us uncomfortable, causes us to come face to face with just how sinful we really are when it comes to unity and when it comes to love. And yet, coming face to face with that, God, I pray, lead us into repentance. To say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for all those times I've allowed myself to derail from the gospel and treated church as a place that is so selfish just for myself. I'm sorry, Lord. Transform us by the power of the gospel. That we will be a church that when people look at us, they will see us as one spirit, one mind. And it is by our unity and by our love for one another, they will see God. Let us be such a church that every nation, Church Malaysia, be a united church from the top to the bottom, all layers to the left to the right. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen.